Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Back, we have reached the halfway point of the program, and we are really excited to say hello again to Coach Steve Spurrier, the HBC. We haven't talked to Coach in a while. Coach, thank you very much for joining us on this Friday afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Paul, good to be with you. It has been a while since we were talking. I guess, are we talking basketball right now? It's certainly right in the middle of it.
Well, you were a good player. We could talk whatever you'd like to talk. We don't tell legends what they want to talk about. So what's on your mind?
Oh, I don't really have a lot on my mind. I am enjoying watching these basketball teams. So the Kansas State game last night was really one to watch, and I'm sure everybody thoroughly enjoyed that one. And then, of course, they're all good, though.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. I remember you told me something once about your coaching style, and I think you were talking about John Wooden, but you – how much of basketball, I mean, I realize the game's different, but you seemed like you've taken some of the attributes of basketball when you coach. Is that accurate?
Yeah, as a young coach, we all sort of look to guys who were very successful in the coaching profession, not just football. And I always said John Wooden was my favorite coach because of the style he used with his team and so forth. Really emphasized conditioning. And we tried to do that. And I think those teams that are in really good physical shape, they suffer less injuries and the ability to, you know, play the all that. That was one of Coach Wooden's big things right there. And another thing he talked about, he didn't go into all detail about a game plan for the opponents. He basically wanted to make sure his guys were ready to play. And I remember he used to say, we know who their best scorer is, who's their leading scorer, and we know, you know, what kind of defense, zone or man-to-man. But other than that, we just wanted to make sure we're ready to play and play the whole game and go from there. So, and of course, he won, I think, 10 national championships in a 12-year period. So that's a run that will never be equaled right there.
Did you ever get a chance, I realize you were coaching a lot as he was getting older, to spend any time talking to him about his philosophy?
I got a chance to talk to him one time, Paul. One of his friends called me up, and gosh, this had to be about 97 or 8 or somewhere in there. And he says, Coach Wooden's birthday today, and here's his number.
Oh,
and
wow.
I told him, I'm going to try to get you to call him. And so I called him up and talked to him on the phone a little bit and, you know, told him how I admired his teams. And we tried to play a lot like you guys did. And he said, I've watched you guys, and I can see that. And so that I really appreciated him saying that. But I never met him face-to-face, but he certainly was a legendary coach out there at UCLA, and all those years he was there.
That is so interesting. I mean, the idea of you calling John Wooden to wish him that's just fascinating to me. I don't know, but I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Speaking of what's going on right now, and I realize you're not you watch these guys, but you're not doing what some of the evaluators are. But there's such a conversation here this week on the quarterbacks. I know everybody's going to show up in Gainesville next week for Anthony Richardson. Today, Will Levis. Yesterday, Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud. You've been in that position where you had to pick a quarterback, but. Is there a way – how would you, with your great knowledge, look at these four guys and make a determination if you had the first pick?
Oh, gosh, if you had the first pick, which one would you go with? That's I don't know. I couldn't put my name on any one of them in particular. Anthony Richardson is a talent. I mean, we all know that. And the opening game last year against Utah, he had a fantastic game. People down here were saying he runs like Lamar Jackson and passes like Tom Brady. And then after that, it wasn't quite as good all the way through. He did have some really good games, but the team did not play overly as well throughout the year. I mean, when you have a losing season here in Florida, there's not a lot to chirp about right now. We're sort of quiet down here. But he is a talent. Anthony is a talent. And so are those other guys. Bryce Young. I tell you, nowadays, those guys, the way they can avoid people and get out of the pocket and scramble plays. Seems like Patrick Mahomes, half of his plays are just, you know, somebody go out and get open, I'll run around and hit you, it seems like. But I'm sure they're a little bit more organized than that. But the ability to scramble and make plays seems to be most important nowadays.
Coach Furrier, do you buy what some critics have said in relation to Bryce Young's size about being a critical factor in whether you should take him or not?
Well, Kyler Murray, I think he just signed one of those $40 or $45 million deals, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And I think they're about the same height, seems like. And I don't think since the scramble part of the game is so much there nowadays, I don't think it's important. Now, if he's going to stand in the pocket and not go anywhere, yeah, he needs to be about 6'4". But he'll be out and about and play like he did at Alabama. But he is a talent. He can make plays, that's for sure.
Coach, every day on this show, it's about change. It's about what happens next. And right now, it seems like next year is going to be that year of transformation. Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, a 12-team playoff. The NIL conversation rages on. The SEC expansion. And, you know, we've seen some reports about Saban wasn't happy. This coach is not happy about the new setup. I realize we don't know it for a fact, but it looks pretty likely. Your thoughts on where we're going in the SEC?
Well, nobody said it is ever supposed to be fair. We always have tried to make it as fair as possible. But I know I heard some fan the other day say, well, Alabama and Georgia rarely play each other during the season. What if Ohio State and Michigan did not play each other during the regular season the way those guys do down there? They wait and just play each other in the championship game, it seems like. But that's, that's the way we've done it for years. As you know, you have your SEC schedule, usually six or seven teams that you play about every year, and then every fourth or fifth year you play the other teams. So I always thought the Big 12 did it as most fair of any conference because they all play each other. And the two top teams at the end played for the conference championship. But anyway, with the 12-team playoff, that will give other teams the opportunity to maybe win it all if they have a tough regular season schedule. And some of them are a lot tougher than others, no question about that.
Coach, in terms of the SEC, and I know you keep up with it, it does seem like a slight shift. Nobody's taking Nick Saban out of his position, but just your thoughts on what Kirby Smart has been able to do with two national championships in a row. You know how difficult that is. He's going for a third this coming season.
Oh, I admire what Kirby's done. As a former coach and Gator and all that, people sort of think I'm supposed to hate the Bulldogs and hate the Seminoles and all these guys. But I sort of watch teams and the way they play and the way their players act and talk and all that kind of stuff. And Kirby's got a class bunch of guys there. They really do. They don't hit late. They don't hit out of bounds, all that kind of stuff. And they say the right things after they kick your butt. So Kirby's got it going. I admire what he's done there. And we need to catch up. Us Gators are needing to catch up with those Bulldogs.
Well, and that's where I want to land next. You do know a lot about the Florida program, and it was a rough start. I think that's the understatement of the century. What are you sensing, and especially at the most important position, quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Well, we got, you know, some transfer guys come in, like everybody else, I guess. And we'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, it's sort of quiet down here right now. I talked to some guys the other day. I said, man, this is the quietest it's been in Gainesville. spring football. Somebody said, is that going on right now? And I said, yeah, I think so. But, you know, it's hard to get real loud when you've had back-to-back losing seasons. So we're getting a little humility, and we need to fight our way out of it hopefully this year.
Well, we have the schedule up at Utah to start the season, Tennessee, at Kentucky, at South Carolina, Georgia, Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri, Florida State. That is going to the experts, whatever that means, are not high on what the Gators look like in the 23 season.
The conversation down here is sort of quiet. We have quiet optimism that things are going to get better. So I think that just sort of describes the atmosphere down here right now. Sort of quiet, but we got to believe we're going to get a lot better.
I think you're the right person to ask this question, considering you played there, coached there, and have been an ambassador. But a lot of people worry about the patience of Florida fans. Everyone knows what's happened in recent years. I mean, it's hard to believe the coaches that have been shown the door at the University of Florida. How would you describe dealing with Florida fans, and are their expectations, and I blame you for a lot of this, too high?
Well, they've gotten 4 years in. I think Dan Mullen got four, and Michael Wayne got three or four, something like that. But Billy Napier's got at least a 6-year contract, maybe more than that, I'm not sure. So, I mean, he's not going anywhere for a while. So we got to get behind our coach and our team and just do what we can to make it loud in the swamp and go from there. I think that's the attitude we have right now, that we're not looking at change. We're looking at trying to get better.
But Coach, wouldn't you agree, even when you were coaching, I mean, you your last season there, you finished third in the country, and fans almost felt like it was a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. If we didn't win the SEC, of course, we had that run there, won 6 in 7 years, and then we went 5 years and only won once. But three of those other years, we finished third, fourth, and fifth in the nation. But we lost that one game, you know, knocked us out. Tennessee was very good back in those years, and they beat us a couple of times. And, of course, they had that national championship year. But, yeah, the fans were they were a little impatient that we weren't winning it every year. But now they sort of look back and realize we've only won 9 in the history of the school in 90 years. Urban got a couple of them, and our guys got 7 of them. So when we look back now, they sort of think, hey, those guys must have done pretty good, I guess.
You did more than that, Coach. it was one of the all-time runs in SEC history. Yeah. Always great to talk to you, and thank you for making
time. Okay, Paul, good talking to you guys. Take care.
Hall of Fame coach Steve Spurrier. I mean, the dominance of Spurrier in the 90s was truly remarkable. And now we're talking about maybe Florida having a winning season would be considered a step forward. We'll take a break. More to come. And your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Really fascinating conversation with Steve Spurrier. A lot of different interpretations already on what he had to say about the Gators. We'll get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And let's check out John next in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, appreciate you having me on your show as always. And yeah, Coach Spurrier, always love hearing from him. Not only is he one of the greatest, I think you'd have to put, you know, Ball, Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, probably even General Nealon as far as best coaches. But as far as influential coaches, I don't know if anybody's had a bigger impact on the game than Steve Spurrier.
No. I mean, I think he was also one of the most polarizing coaches. I mean, if you were a Tennessee fan or a Georgia fan or a fan of some other school, I mean, you didn't dislike him. You hated him.
I'm a Tennessee fan, and yes, I hated him on the field, but loved him as a person, not only of his testimony and everything like that. So, but anyways, Paul, I wanted to call and tell you, cry my tears about Tennessee last night. First half, we drug them in the mud. We had them tired. We were playing our game, holding them to one or two passes, and then in the second half, they started making that third and fourth pass, and they got us tired, running us around, and, you know, give credit to FAU. They absolutely deserve the win. And kind of continue the conversation you had with Jeff from Columbus about the NIL and what we've been talking about today. It's something I've been conflicted about because, you know, I agree students are getting a lot, the scholarships and all the travel that they get. I mean, they are really, really getting a lot. But I do understand, you know, back when I was a kid in the 90s, growing up playing video games, EA Sports 1997, 98, whatever it is, Peyton Manning's in the game. It doesn't say his name, but it's 6'6", number 16, using his image, not his permission, making hundreds of millions of dollars off somebody that you didn't even ask them their permission. Now, I agree, that's wrong. So something does have to change. I don't know exactly what all the answer is, but we are heading in the right direction, and you know, keep up the great work, Paul.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate your call. Anthony in Houston on the air. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Paul, longtime listener, first time caller here. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
A couple things here. Augie from New Orleans, I think it's kind of overstated here to say that Louisiana LSU is overrated here, and we're losing one game to Arkansas. We still got the full series to play. Let's see how that plays out. Then we can kind of start seeing where they spread out here. Also, with the March Madness and LSU not making it this year, since Big Baby Davis, do you think LSU will ever make it back to a Final Four?
Oh, sure. I mean, a couple of LSU coaches have done it, and I think it's going to take a while, but it will happen. And I think LSU has the infrastructure. They've got a great recruiting base. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Rick, who is in Houston as well. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Well, Anthony just stole what I was going to say. I usually always enjoy Augie's call. Seems like a sharp guy, and doesn't hurt that he's a fellow Tiger fan. But today's call was just such a stupid knee-jerk reaction to one game.
We're 3 months away from the SEC baseball tournament. It's one game that was tied in the 10th inning. I've never heard such an overreaction in my life.
Well, Paul, every other coach in the SEC would give their right arm to get the recruiting class that Jay Johnson just got.
Well, again,
to call it a joke, it's just dumb.
I have to agree with you on that, and I hate to criticize Augie because it's so easy.
Hey, Paul, one other thing. I love Coach Spurrier. I think he's super sharp and one of the greatest personalities in that football's ever had.
Boy, I tell you what, I really love that story. I played golf with Spurrier many years ago, and that's where I got the John Wooden thing. I asked him, I said, why do you, he said, why do you, I asked him, why do you run up the score? And he stopped me, and he mentioned John Wooden. He said, John Wooden always said, you don't worry about the other team. Your job is to score. Their job is to stop you. And that's how he always looked at it. He didn't care about the. I once sat in the film room with Spurrier. They were about to play, I think it was Alabama. And he was looking at the defense, and I said, by the way, I think whatever the cornerback is, I think he's hurt. He said, I don't care. he didn't matter to. He said, I just look at the numbers. And I match you, and I decide what I'm going to do. I don't worry about the other team, and that's the way he always has been, and he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Bruce Feldman, one of the great writers of all time, will join us next, talking about coaching in college football. He'll be with us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And Handsome Joe is up next.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Hey, I've enjoyed the show today, Paul, and it's more mellow laid back today than it was. And I'm like you. I got that caller from about to Arkansas. Man, like you said, that was a tight game to that last inning. I mean, that was a tight, good game between LSU and Arkansas. If you like defense, that's what it was. But, I mean, it ain't like Arkansas is the best team out there. LSU probably still the best team in the country. And, but anyway, there's a couple of things I want to mention. I heard the only reason I mentioned Jeff the other day, which I don't mention him ever. In fact, I hardly ever mention him. But the only reason I mentioned him the other day is because Jim mentioned him, talking about what good of a caller he was. And I'm just making a statement is that he is not a good caller, and Jim just don't know talent. But I don't mention him. And, you know, and I tell you what, I'd rather be what Jeff calls a redneck in my awesome little town of Red Bay, Alabama, than an idiot jabberjaw Buckeye fan, Paul. And that's just the way I see it. So, Jeff, you know, get over yourself. He's just jealous, Paul. He's jealous because everybody in this caller bracket is better than him. He got the he got blowed out. He'd get blowed out by anybody on this list. And he's just a jealous man. I think it was one of the Beatles wrote the song about the jealous man. Hey, that's what Jeff is. He's a jealous man, Paul. That's all he is. But anyway, I was pulling for Tennessee. I was pulling for Arkansas. You know, and, you know, I want even if Bama lost today, I still wanted them to win. So, but anyway, that's just tough luck. But hey, they made it to Sweet 16. We got to get past San Diego State ourselves, Paul. So SEC still good. We had three teams that made it to Sweet 16. But anyway, you have a good
weekend.
Thank
you, Joe. You have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon. It's been a busy show. We just had Steve Spurrier on. Mark Stoops was with us earlier. We'll play a cut of that for those of you who missed it. But what makes a great coach, especially in the first year? Bruce Feldman can do a deep dive like nobody else has ever done before, and he did one in The Athletic. The first year is the hardest. How college football coaches get their new team to buy in. Bruce, thank you, as always. Great to have you on, and I'll just sit back here and listen to your process and how you reported this story and what it all means. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. So it was interesting. Like, I happened to be at Nebraska the week they had fired Scott Frost. And so I had some conversations with guys who had been with Frost, both at UCF, where he took a team that was winless and ended up 13-0 within 2 years. So it's kind of amazing that you'd have that turnaround. And then on the other side of it, you know, he goes to Nebraska, he goes home, it's his alma mater, and you're expecting him to get it going. And he never did, never had a winning season. So when I talk to people there, like, what happened? What happened? And the truth is, it's like, it's very nuanced. And a big part of it, as you know, as I mentioned in the story, was when he got to UCF, he was following George O'Leary. And George O'Leary, as one of these guys put it, is a real hard ass. He didn't use the word hard ass, but like that was in that context. And I think because of, as the coaches I talked to put it, you know, those kids wanted to be great, but they really just wanted somebody to kind of love them up too. And when they got to Nebraska, they followed Mike Riley, whose personality was almost the opposite of George O'Leary. And that edge or whatever was just not there. And they never were able to remedy it. And so, you know, the more I thought about it, it was like, well, why do some coaches do really well at the beginning and why did they fizzle out and how does it work? And Kevin Sumlin came to mind because he had, you know, the first year A&M goes in the SEC, everybody thinks they're going to get, you know, their head kicked in, and they have the best year A&M had in 50 years. And so, you know, why was that? Why did it work then? And so that was really the part of the process that became really fun to dig into.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there are extenuating circumstances like Johnny Manziel, but I want to go back to Scott Frost because, I mean, he just wasn't a good hire going home to a place he had been a hero. He was the most coveted coach in the country, Bruce, and I would have to say, and you know this better than anyone, I mean, this is one of the epic fails in modern college coaching history.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, count me in as one of the people who got it wrong. I thought it was not just a home run hire, a grand slam hire. And he bombed miserably there. And look, guys work or don't work well for more than one reason. But a big part of it is just kind of like, why did it go so great at UCF? Well, it was probably the ideal situation for Scott Frost to jump into, as it turned out, you know, following O'Leary at the time of that career and the personalities. And, you know, so that's why it's so hard, I think, for us. We all want to, you know, we're going to gauge the press conference or gauge the resume. And, you know, the more people I talk to, the more you realize coaches, not all, but some can really evolve into the jobs that they get and from what they used to have. And I just think it's like, it's such a fascinating dynamic because we all want to grade the coaching hires and you just never know. A guy can be a great coach at one place and a disaster at another.
In the programs that you looked into, you mentioned Kevin Sumlin, you mentioned Scott Frost. What else and where else did you go and what did you learn from researching this?
Yeah, one of the ones that I talked to, Alex Golish, who's the new coach at USF, and he had come from UCF with Josh Heupel to Tennessee. And as we all know, I mean, Tennessee has been a dumpster fire for a decade plus, and they just could not, you know, they had Butch Jones had a couple of solid years, and Lane got people excited, but for the most part, that program has been a disaster. And if you asked me who did a better job at UCF, I would have said Scott Frost compared to Josh Heupel. You know, it started to feel like a backslid under Josh Heupel, but no, Josh Heupel has done a remarkable job in 2 years there. They won 11 games. They finished sixth. I think it's the first time they finished in the top 10 in 20 years. So when I talked to Golish about it, he goes, it's 100% who you follow. And he goes, you know, Heupel was pretty much the polar opposite of the guy he followed, Jeremy Pruitt. And everything around that building felt like it was really negative. And they did such a concerted effort. They not only had guys who knew what Heupel wanted, because a bunch of guys had come with him from UCF, but also he made a very conscious effort. We are going to be extremely positive around these guys. Let them get to know us. Let them get to see it. And the players really embraced the culture. And as much as I don't think Josh Heupel was thought as going to be the complete opposite of, like, you know, how Scott Frost was a great hire, I don't think anyone thought
that maybe unless you were related to Josh Heupel or came with him, you did not think he was going to have them in the top 10 by year two. I mean, there was nothing showing that the way that program was headed, with the losses they had, with the, you know, the dark cloud over it. I mean, so huge credit to the AD for making the hire, and obviously even more credit to Heupel for the way he's managed it and messaged it.
You also obviously get into Sonny Dykes, and that's obviously the, I mean, we have seen one or two turnarounds like that. I mean, Gus Malzahn went to the national championship game and almost won. But in terms of that program, which I know you're very familiar with, having spent a lot of time, what was the key to that?
Yeah, that one was interesting, too, because, you know, Sonny had the last head coaching job before SMU. He gets fired and run out of Cal. It was just a bad fit. He goes to TCU. He's replacing a legend, a guy there's a statue of in front of the building. And I think what he did a really, really smart job of was how they got players to buy in. And so one of the things I was able to do in this story was just I talked to a couple of the coaches who were holdovers, a bunch of the players who were with him, who were the guys he inherited. And Sonny Dykes, like I said, were coaches of all. I think he really made a lot of smart decisions. And I think, what, you know, one of the common threads in this, and Sonny and the players at TCU all talked about it, was his strength and conditioning coach, Kaz Kazadi, had a big role in them getting the players to buy in and believe. Because, as he told me, when we first got there, we had three workouts with our new team, and it was not good. There was a lot of kids who were late, a lot of kids who didn't show up. And he said, I really don't know exactly why it all changed after we came back from the break. But to think that this team that was picked like seventh preseason just in the Big 12 makes it to the national title game is remarkable turnaround. And it happened almost instantly. So I think for people who are looking to have a new coach, or, you know, the school they root for is kind of in the dumps. If you look at, and in this story, you get kind of a blow by blow of exactly the stuff that the TCU staff did, what Dykes did, but also how the players felt as they were going through this transition.
Just a phenomenal story, as you would expect, from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. The first year is the hardest, how college football coaches get their new teams to buy in. Appreciate Bruce joining us. We head to the break now. We've had a busy one with Coach Spurrier and Bruce. We got into NIL with a couple of guests, Mark Stoops from Kentucky. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back here Friday afternoon, and let's head to Alabama, and Hugo is up next. Hello, Hugo.
What are your thoughts on Bryce Young in the NFL draft?
Well, Hugo, thanks for the question. I think it's going to be a debate that rages on for four or five more weeks between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud for the Panthers. I hear something different every day. I mean, I think Bryce Young is the better quarterback, but that doesn't mean that the Panthers are willing to bet the ranch. So I think it's going to come down to just a gut feeling by the owner and by the head coach. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Andy is in Arkansas. Hello, Andy.
Well, hi, Paul.
Hi there.
Based on a couple calls, it always amazes me. First of all,
how SEC fans turn on each other when I'm a fan of SEC. I'm a fan of the Razorbacks. I like what happened today with LSU, but I see LSU, you know, taking the series still. There's so much vitriol and hatred for other teams in the SEC, and you have to step back and remember, as an SEC fan, we are the finest conference in the country in almost every sport, including track and field. So I want to put that to bed. my Razorbacks last night, they had it, Paul. Just before tip-off, they had it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would like to know what Musk said to that team before the game. He needs to take it out of his repertoire.
Yeah, well, yeah, they got manhandled, and that is the difference. I love Musk. We are blessed to have Musk. I remember the Stan Heath and Pelfrey days.
Oh, when my goodness.
In 9 years, we're 21 games over 500, and then, you know, Mike Anderson did a heck of a job.
He did.
He lost some players, you know. And now we have Musk, and we're in the Sweet 16 3 years in a row. Let's hold on to that.
I agree. And the one thing about the NCAA tournament, I mean, the styles, the clash. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. And I don't mean that as like you don't know who's going to win, but most of the time you do. But a game like that just happens, and once it starts, there's no turning it back. It was like in the Tennessee game. I mean, they were in good shape, and then they went cold, and the other team just didn't miss a shot, and over. There's so much pressure, and you can't dial back that pressure in an NCAA tournament, and that's what makes it what it is. But AJ is up next.
Hey, Paul. There I was. There I was. It was 2016 election night, and I'm Hillary Clinton. I had the venue rented out, Paul. The celebration was underway. I had the red carpet out. The finest of foods was set out, and I was sitting there and sitting there and sitting there waiting patiently for my victory. And what happened, Paul? I have realized that I have been duped. They had broke out the Dominion voting machines, and the election has been thrown. So what did I do, Paul? I was so discouraged. I just was
AJ,
terribly discouraged.
AJ, let me assure you, you're lucky. I mean,
you're
lucky it was a no contest.
Hey, but what did I do, Paul? I reached out to my main man, my most.
It was by the way, it was our fault because we decided that between the two of you, you're such great callers. We simply could not decide, right, Randy?
That's right.
And if anybody believes that, I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon, there, Paul. You know, I've been giving this thing some thought. Everybody keeps talking about you're going to have to do something when Texas and Oklahoma come into the SEC.
Right.
You know about your song. Why don't y'all just give them the Harsin treatment? You never put his picture in your damn thing. So make them earn their spot. Y'all never did put Harsin's picture
listen,
in your...
We've got an entire football season before we get to Oklahoma and Texas, so we're not going to we're just going to play the games in front of us. I mean, and by the way,
yeah.
I mean, who's to say that we don't open this thing up? When you open up the pool of talent from Austin alone, we might have Willie Nelson write the song.
You can't never tell. I tell you what,
he's only 90.
That's a city that's vastly underrated when it comes to music. I mean,
I don't think it's
about
underrated
Austin's
anymore.
City limits,
it's pretty good.
No, it's not anymore, but it's pretty. There's a bunch of musicians down there. You know, Paul, I tell you, the other three brackets are stomping around, raising hell, and grunting and growling and pointing fingers at each other, but the Woodstock bracket over here is just kind of cool and calm and swimming.
I mean, as a veteran of this show, I mean, have you ever heard more whining from two guys that probably shouldn't have even been in the tournament than AJ and Dustin?
They're pretty cool. I mean, you know, they're kind of new to the thing, and I think they both bring something to the table. I'm not sure if they've identified. Well, they've got to identify.
I mean, by the way, when you figure out what they bring to the table, you've got my number. Call me.
Well, I like the way they deliver what they do have. They just got to figure it out. And it's not easy picking up the phone and calling you and talking to millions of people in front of millions of people.
No, it isn't.
I mean, you got it down pat.
And they make it even more difficult.
and you know what? You just have to forget all these people eavesdropping on your conversation.
And you said it best. And you do it better or almost as good as anybody's ever. It's a conversation. Those guys think it's Monday night at the Improv.
It's not open mic night.
It's a real conversation. I'm making it simple for AJ.
Well, you know, there were some people said that they were surprised that, I got to talk about Nick Saban. Well, you know, Paul, when I came on this show 20 years ago, I was talking about Gene Stallings lying, cheating ass, and how Terry Bowden run him out of Tuscaloosa. And then I went through three mics, and then we said, you know,
you may have just gone all the way to the Final Four with that shot.
I mean, you know, this ain't my friend. Nick Saban's just the new guy.
He is the
new
guy.
You know, you remember when we was talking about Nick Saban, he wouldn't be here 3 years.
I remember that.
That's amazing. And
look at
him
now.
He found somebody that would sell her.
He just turned 80.
He found somebody
that. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.